Robotik in der Industrie. Der Podcast mit Helmut Schmidt und Robert Weber.
Hello everybody and welcome to a new episode of our Robotics Podcast. My name is Robert Weber and I'm sitting today in Freising. And my guests are Kristen Morgensen. Kristen, welcome.
Hello Robert, nice to talk with you again. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. And Thomas Schneider, welcome.
Hello Robert.
Before we start talking about safety, functional safety, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners. Christian, please start.
Yeah, so my name is Christian Morgensen. I've been working at TI for 18 years. And in that time, I've been working primarily with motor control, communication, functional safety, and how does TI components fit for robotic systems with these systems.
And Thomas.
Hello, my name is Thomas Schneider. I'm a systems engineer for industrial systems, focusing on robotics and also the safety topic here. I'm working for TI now since 22 years.
Let's do a quick recap when it comes to safety. What are the most important industrial standards when it comes to robots and safety?
I think the basic standard, of course, the IEC 61508, the industrial standard is the one, and then also the industrial machinery, the ISO 13849, where the industrial product-specific safety standards, like for robot, the ISO 10218, for example, for industrial robot, is referencing to then.
Okay. So, and when it comes to the standards, what kind of trends do you see in safety and in functional safety topics when it comes to the robot?
So I think if you look at the trends, the focus on safety has gotten to be more and more and more. Also from the Chinese vendors, that they start to also add safety in their systems and they want to learn more and build more systems they can sell worldwide.
That's interesting because I had a discussion with a Bosch guy and he's responsible for the whole safety topics in the Bosch environment. And he told me that the Chinese are adding more and more rules on the existing standards when you want to enter the Chinese market. So there's not the question, is European regulating the world? The Chinese are also adding more and more to safety standards. That's interesting.
I mean, in the past, I think there was no safety standard for mobile robot, for example, in China. So they have to add now additional things. But also, as the Chinese sell into the other areas on the world, they have to implement the safety functions that they can sell their products.
But they also add new standards when you want to enter as a European company in the Chinese market. So specialized safety standards when it comes to communication stuff, etc. So it's very interesting that there's a rising regulation topic also in China.
Yeah, I mean, also the ISO 10218 has been revised and there is a new revision now with additional safety requirements. So here there is also work in progress.
So come back to the trends, Christian, sorry.
And I think the trends is also, for instance, if you look at the AMR market, I think it was a good topic to pick up, Thomas, on it. Right now, the AMR market or the mobile robot market is difficult to understand from customers, which standard do I actually pick? So what we see is the warehouse robots, they are actually using the ISO
36691-4. Yeah,
exactly, this one. Thank you, Thomas. They use that as their base for the warehouse handling.
Yeah.
But this standard, basically, you cannot take that and say, okay, I want to put it on a curb robot.
Yeah.
So there is a standard coming up for sidewalk curb robots that is in definition right now.
Yeah.
On top of this, right, in the robot ISO organization, the working group 13 and working group 14, which basically define standards for service robots and also mobile robots, which are not covered by existing standards. So as Thomas said, right, this market is moving along and also the standards are being revised now because there is a need and it's not been covered yet.
I mean, the 3691-4 actually is for driverless trucks.
Yeah.
So, but there is no mobile robot standard and therefore the customers
copy and paste.
Yeah, exactly.
What does that mean for TI?
At the end of the day, for TI, it means that we also, as TI, need to understand these standards to be on the forefront when we need to build new safety parts that we can achieve the safety goals and the safety levels that is needed for the coming systems. And this is also why we as TI, for instance, I'm participating in the TCE 299 in Germany for the ISO organization and helping define and understand what are the standards, what are the requirements, and what do we need as TI to ensure that we are also ready for the future.
I mean, what TI is doing actually, so TI certifies their product, not for the product safety standard, like for the ISO 10218, like for an industrial robot. But what we do, we certify our products only for the type A safety standard. So for the basic safety standards, like for the IEC 61508 for industrial applications, and typically for ISO 26262 for automotive applications, so that our products cover both areas, industrial and automotive. And here the customer gets all the needed safety collaterals from both sides, actually. So that's also an advantage sometimes, that he can pick additional information from the other world to convince then his assessor, like TÜV, for example, and using both collaterals for the certification. What we then do in addition is, to these product or device certifications, we also, especially our team, work on safety concepts, kind of system element out of context, where we take a specific application, like for a motor control application for a robot, for example, or for a safe sensing application, and combine then several products from TI on a system level and work together with TÜV Süd here on a system element out of context certification, where we certify this concept together with TÜV Süd, which then helps the customers to easier go through his certification, and he has already some confidence that he will pass the certification, as there is already a concept available.
Just to add on this one, right, Thomas, what we do, right, is when you look at the V form of the the safety model, right, what we do here is we look at the system and also pick hardware, but we don't do a full hardware. We do specific safety subsystems where we analyze this subsystem and help the customer understand, does that subsystem fit his system, and how can he implement it in the system, and what are the assumption of use that he needs to cover from the rest of the system to ensure that it fits his requirements. And also, that's coming back to the discussion Thomas said, right? We certify the chips to a specific safety level, and but we also try and work with the standards to understand what's the needed safety level when you want to do some of the new robots.
Okay.
For instance, I think the harshest standard of today is the ISO 10218, which is mandating you need to do CAT3 PLD or SAIL 2 HFT1. Which basically mean you need to do a redundant system and you need to have a specific amount of diagnostic coverage. You need to ensure your fit number is correct and you need to ensure your MTTFD number and PFH numbers fit those requirements in the A standard. And this is where we help the customers understand, where do you lie before you start, get a rough estimate, where do you see our parts in combination that you can make a very quick assessment, top or flop, and also the argumentation with TÜV, why architecturally this works, is already done.
Yeah, but you mentioned there's an increase in safety, right? And in the last episode, we talked about sensors, and you said that we will see more sensors. And I want to quickly come back to the product perspective, right? So what do you see when it comes to products, when it comes to TI products and solutions? You mentioned in the last episode or in the discussion before that the safety module is coming into the main part and that there are some ambitious or some aims to distill or to make safety more an implicit application into the electronics, or am I wrong? Can
you, exactly. Yeah? So for the processors, for example, on the Citara processors, on the Jacinto processors, we have added a so-called safety island. So that is free from interference from the rest of the system. So you can implement the safety channel on that island and do not have the need anymore to have a separate MCU next to the main controller, as it has its own memory, its own peripherals, and so on. So that's on the processor side. On the sensing side, like our radar sensors, for example, they are also safety certified up to systematic capability SIL 2. So these can also be used now for safe radar sensing. I mean, there is this new safety standard for radar sensors, the IEC 61496-5 now, so that it's also possible to use the radar sensors in safety application, not just LiDAR anymore like it was in the past, where you had the LiDAR sensor in front and in the back of your mobile robot, for example. Now the radar technology can also be used, and here we offer the pre-certified mmWave radar sensors with all the collaterals for it. And also,
this is a huge step, right?
Yes.
Is it a future topic, or is it in progress, or where do we stand in the moment?
I think it's already in progress. I mean, customers, they are integrating more and more the safety module inside the processing part. I mean, Kristen, for example, is working on the moment on a motor control safety use case where the safety is integrated. So
And this safety idea around there is you need, as we mentioned earlier with the motor control, right? The system needs to be smaller and smaller. So you cannot afford anymore to say, okay, I do safety and I do application. Everything has its own processor, every nice and good. It's too expensive, first of all, because you're not price competitive anymore. And you have the capability now with the safety documentation we provide to actually say, I can maybe take two channels. So I can do the application and one safety channel, or I can do the full safety channel with one chip. And then what external analog circuits you do, you need to put around to still have your safety argumentation case. And this is also sometimes using the written word of the standards, because the IEC 61508 and the ISO 13849 has different definitions of how do you understand redundancy. And using those argumentation points, we help the customer to understand how can I size minimize the system and build the best system for the end application I have. And this is where we see the next trends are coming. And as Thomas said, right now, a lot of times safety is you put a separate module that does the safety. But eventually, you need to go to the step of saying, I need everything to be in a combined system on one PCB, because I want to save size, but I also want to save cost. And then at the end of the day, this module is additional weight you don't want in a system with a battery.
And sometimes you don't have the size for it, like for the decentralized architectures for cobots, where you have the motor control inside the joint. I mean, you don't want actually to put in every joint a separate safety module.
And you are working on it, or are you working together with customer on this topic? How is the status?
So we are both working with customer on it, and we are working with TÜV to do the architectural. Architecturally, right now, we are at a level where we are very confident it will pass, or we are, I would say, 100% sure it will pass. It's more the written text. How do you actually, that the written text is not misunderstandable and all the assumptions of use are done correctly or expressed correctly, that it's understood what you need to do around? Because when you do that type of system, it's a system you need to build. It's not just the processor, single module, and you're done. You need to think of, how do I do the power supply to the power supply to the processor? How do I do the power supply from the system down to the safety functions? And how do I split everything? How do I do voltage supervisors? How do I do additional watchdog functions? How do I add in real-time diagnostic features that are non-intrusive? All these things need to be thought of. And this is where we individually, point by point, walk through these steps. And we have very compelling components with, as Thomas mentioned, the safety documentation required to actually build these type of systems.
So there's a topic safety, right? And what does safe communication look like when it comes to the robot? So you already mentioned, because it's quite important that the communication is also safe, right?
So looking at safe communication, the biggest point with industrial is there is a definition called black channel.
Yeah.
Black channel basically implies that you take the safety information and put it in the OC model. So it has nothing to do with the physical layer, meaning that you send a frame. The way the protocol of the frame is defined is that you can separate two different values. You can separate it to two different cores, and then you can make it safe. But while it's in the wire, it's not safe, or it's not safely done through the wire. Safety happens in the processor.
One example here is FSOEs, or functional safety over EtherCAT, for example, where you have your basic EtherCAT communication below, and then on top of it, you put the safety level, the FSOE layer, which then does the safe communication from the endpoint to the endpoint.
Last year, we recorded a lot of episodes when it comes to the Cyber Resilience Act stuff. So we are changing a little bit the focus from safety to security. But there are some points where the topics meet each other. What kind of role does the Cyber Resilience Act play when it comes to safety of robots?
I think not moving from safety to security, I see it more as a combination. So there will be no safety anymore in the future without security. So, I mean, security is already mentioned in the safety standards, so that you also have you do your TARA analysis and look into the security topics. And that's a big topic. I mean, CRA at the moment it's a law, but it's not a standard so far.
Exactly.
So customers still have the problem to which standards should they refer to.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a standard for automotive and then there is also a security standard for industrial, but the CRA actually is not exactly covering what's in those standards here.
And so robots are not critical, right? So there was a huge discussion when it comes to robots that this is not so critical.
It depends, I think, if they how they are connected. I mean, there is more and more the connection to the cloud when you want to do predictive maintenance. So then they are connected to the outside and can be attacked. So it really depends if you have an independent
system.
But
I thought there was a discussion that you can do your CE certification by yourself if you're not a crucial or not a critical part.
Yeah.
And I think in the beginning, the robots were part of this. You are not allowed to do your CE by yourself. You need to hire somebody who checks the CE for you. And then now I think the robots are out of it and you can do your own CE at the end.
Yeah, but also the components, then the digital components, MCUs, they are also mentioned in the CRA. So they also need to fulfill that.
What does that mean for TI? How are you dealing with that?
I mean, our MCUs, for example, they are ready for security. They have all the features already implemented, like secure boot and the security algorithms and so on. I think we are good prepared here with our MCU and the processor portfolio, as they have already all those requirements inside.
You want to add something, Christian?
And also what we do from TI, we have a colleague who basically works only on CRA or very focused on CRA, that we as a TI, as a company, have a strategy. How do we need to get there? And he also works a lot with the lawmaking of the CRA, that we understand early what is happening, that we can quickly react, and we have a very good understanding of what does it mean to us.
Yeah,
there is a complete task force team at TI only covering the CRA topic.
I want to come back because you mentioned at the beginning that we will see an increase of safety topics, right? We'll see more sensors. What kind of products, what kind of sensors do we will see in the future?
So I think Thomas already mentioned one. I will let him continue on the topic with, I think it's a little bit look of, is it a sensor for perception in the surrounding? Or is it a sensor measuring force, tactile, these type of sensors where you want to mimic the touch? And those two sensor types have differences in a use case, right? But those points are needed that, for instance, that a robot, if it has a hand and it grabs you, that it doesn't crush you, right? These type of things. And this is why I believe more and more sensors and also more and more sensor fusion models where you do a combination of sensors, because one sensor doesn't do all. For instance, I think one thing is a good example with cameras. Cameras are super nice until you turn off the light. And then what do you do now? Do you let the robot stand still because he can't see? Or do you, for instance, add a radar sensor where you can say, oh, I know what the distance is? Or do you do a camera where you have some type of night vision? And how do you do that data? And I think what we'll see more of sensors is we'll see more combinations of sensors to try and achieve something extraordinary or ensure that the robot can operate longer.
Does that mean for TI? More sensors, more different sensors.
I mean, for the sensors, it's a huge area. I mean, it starts already at the lowest level for the current sensing. I mean, you can do your motor control with two current, measuring the two phases and calculate the third phase. But for safety, you might maybe want to measure all three phases.
Yeah.
So you have an additional delta sigma modulator on the current sensing side. And that continues and goes up to the outside. So like MM wave radar, cameras, and so on. You also then need more to detect really. And in the past, we just had that there is an object maybe in front of a mobile robot. Maybe now you want to detect, is it a human person or is it a humanoid? And then for the different use cases, the robot would maybe slow down when it's a human person, whereas maybe it would continue with the same speed if it's another robot.
Yeah.
Because that's not so critical. And I think the accuracy will increase in the future. And then also the use cases, because AI, I mean, is becoming more and more important. And in the future, I think AI
but
will also...
AI and safety? There is
a technical report available. I mean, it's the TR5469, how to use AI in safety functions. And then there is another safety standard in the works at the moment, the IEC 22440, where that topic is exactly discussed, how to use AI in safety functions. And I think going to the future with those standards coming, I think the sensor fusion portion will also be a topic that you have kind of a redundant system, two different sensing technologies combining maybe the radar sensor with a camera that you get the distance and the speed and the position of the object from the radar sensor, and then you get the picture and can do the classification with the camera, for example, also for different performances from the camera and for the radar. So camera cannot detect a glass door, for example, whereas radar can detect it if the light goes off. The radar can detect it, camera can't detect it, so that you have kind of a redundancy also with the fusion.
Exactly. When it comes to your customers, do you feel an uncertainty by your customers when it comes to safety? For safety, not today, but maybe tomorrow?
So I think right now there is a lot of uncertainty. And I also think, right, mentioned before with the two working group for the mobile platforms, right? There are two new standards trying to help customers understand better which safety standard do I need to do and what safety levels do I need to do when I want to build a specific robot. A second piece is also, for instance, the new kid on the block we mentioned a couple of times, humanoid, right? Yeah. Right now, humanoid doesn't really have a standard.
Yeah, exactly.
So the best you can do is say, I take the most stringent standard, which is the robot arm standard, so the ISO 10218. But also there is a working group, for instance, working on the legged robots, the ISO VD25785-1. Which basically also starts going into the direction of what do you need to do for the humanoid? What is different? And we will see more and more on this coming, that the standard organization will go after and understand what is missing, that it's easy to know what standard do I need to do. And I think the biggest problem is figuring out what standard do I use for my use case, because it's a little bit the wild, wild west at the moment, to be honest about it.
I mean, the legged robot, I think, is a different topic, because here your safety functions need to be completely different. Yeah. You need to fail kind of safe operationally, whereas for a mobile robot, it could just turn off power and then it stands and it's in a safe state. But for a humanoid or legged robot, if I shut down power with an STO or safe brake function, the robot would fall down and maybe could even still hurt another person. So that's completely different.
Yeah, you need to somehow figure out how do you fall safely.
yeah, absolutely. At the end, what are your prediction when it comes to safety? What will we see in the next years? Christian first.
So I definitely see that safety is getting more and more critical for all robot applications, but even looking at appliances, even appliances robots start having safety standards that they need to do. They are not as stringent, but they still exist and they're still there. And I think we will see more and more this safety coming for everything that's autonomously moving around, because you need to be sure that if something happens, it will go in a safe state where it doesn't hurt someone.
Yeah.
And this is the critical thing, right? And what I see right now is a lot of the robots that are built today are focused a lot on the factories, right?
Yeah.
In the factory, it's a known environment. You can train the people. You can, let's say, reduce a little bit the safety level because you are in a trained environment, right? As soon as you want to put this robot in a household, there is a whole new safety level you need to think of problems that you cannot train everyone.
Yeah.
The robot needs to, by itself, be safe around people. And what does that look like? And I think this is still not figured out, but it's something that will need to be figured out. And a lot of the new standard coming now are working on it.
Yeah. Thomas, you want to add your prediction?
I think what we will see in the future is definitely having more AI used for the safety functions. So,
can you give an example? What do you see there?
For cameras, for the object detection, for example, to detect if it's a person or if it's another mobile robot, or with a radar sensor. I mean, the radar sensors, they even can detect the heart rate of a person or the breathing. Yeah. So that could be used in combination with AI, that you can decide on if the person is coming closer to you. And I mean, the safety standards are in the works for that use cases. And as AI is coming more and more in all areas of the robot, so I think definitely it will also come for the safety portion.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was a pleasure, as always.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. We'll be right back.